Glenn Weldon of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast says TV has a bad guy problem. A lot of shows seem reluctant to let their villains be villains. But Glenn sees signs of a new age of TV villainy.
Where did TV's villains go? I don't mean monsters. Monsters haven't gone anywhere. Ghosts and demons haunt shows like Grimm and Supernatural every week. The old series Twin Peaks featured what was, for my money, the most terrifying monster in TV history, Killer Bob.
I promise I will kill again.
Bob, it turned out, was a sort of murderous forest spirit. Like the werewolves and vampires all over TV today, he was a boogeyman, a metaphor, a larger-than-life symbol. True villains are entirely human, with understandably human motivations. What's more, they have a plan. TV's best villains play the long game. Episode after episode, season after season, they plot and scheme, tenting their fingers like The Simpsons' Mr. Burns.
Excellent.
Not only do they have a plan, they're only too happy to share it with anyone in earshot. Take Alexis Colby, technically Alexis Carrington Colby Dexter Rowan, of the 80s nighttime soap Dynasty, played, with scenery-chomping relish, by Joan Collins.
In a very short time, this faultless family is going to be hearing from me, including you, and you especially are going to cringe at what you hear.
TV used to be lousy with villains like Alexis, villains who sat at the center of the spiderweb, spinning plans within plans. But then, something happened. Tony Soprano happened.
It's business. Soldiers. We follow codes.
And Breaking Bad's Walter White.
I am the one who knocks.
And Mad Men's Don Draper.
You never say thank you.
That's what the money is for.
Anti-heroes happened. The bad guys became our good guys. We started building shows around ruthless mobsters, drug kingpins, womanizing cads. They do lots of villainous things. Tony Soprano murdered his own nephew for Pete's sake, but writers are careful to show these anti-heroes struggling with their actions, and even in Tony's case, confiding in his shrink.
He was a tremendous drag on my emotions, on my thoughts about the future.
True villains don't struggle with the evil that they do, they bask in it. Here's Alexis again.
I will personally attach tiny hand grenades to each of the wheels on her roller skates, watch her do one of her ever-loving pirouettes, and applaud as she explodes into a thousand smithereens.
Evil is her bubble bath, and she luxuriates in it. Granted, the many anti-hero shows we have today are a lot more nuanced and wise about the human condition than a show like Dynasty ever was, but they're also a lot less fun. That's because we empathize with anti-heroes, but we love villains. It's why shows like The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones are two of the most watched programs today. Again, not because of the zombies and fire-breathing dragons. Those are gimmicks. No, I think it's because both feature old-fashioned villains, men and women with elaborate plans who are fun to watch. For two seasons on The Walking Dead, a character called the Governor was a nasty villain to the show's main characters, and when it returns in October, look for a character called Negan to fill that slot in a particularly brutal fashion.
You can breathe. You can blink. You can cry. Hell, you're all gonna be doing that.
On Game of Thrones, Cersei Lannister, Queen of the Seven Kingdoms, revels in scheming, self-satisfied, unapologetic villainy.
The only way to keep the small folk loyal is to make certain they fear you more than they do the enemy. Remember that. If you ever hope to become a queen.
See, that's more like it. I should point out that as she says this, she is swirling a goblet of red wine. Alexis would be proud. I'm Glenn Weldon.